We don't fear for tomorrow because we know who holds it. We don't know anything about tomorrow, but we know He is there with us. That's why we can live in this world without tension, without fear or anxiety. How sweet to hold a baby in our hands and to dedicate that baby. I remember some time back I read something in a book where a proud rich young man was driving down in his expensive car through a village, and he stopped when he saw a farmer resting under a tree. He went and asked him, any great men were born in this village? He asked, and that humble farmer told him, "No, sir, only babies were born here." You see, all the people that lived in history, the greatest saint and the most wicked person, they were all born as babies once upon a time. They were babies. But they turned out to be different. It's all because of the fault of the parents. The parents neglected their role, their job, as to what they should do. And they didn't do it properly. Some did well, and their children grew up well and became a blessing to society. Some were just let loose, and they acquired all that was around them from their friends and from the world and society, and became what they became. And it is true of us also. Some sitting here in this church, having heard what we have heard, it has had effect on some people, real good effect, that the Word of God has penetrated into their heart and has borne 30, 40, 60 fold fruit. Whereas in some people's heart, it is gone, it's sprouted, it wilted and didn't bear any fruit because there was no depth of soil in them, or they were choked by thorny bushes and they were not allowed to grow up, so on and so forth. Jesus told that as be careful as to how you listen to and what you listen to. Jesus had a very special place in his heart for children. He said, "Let the little children come unto me, do not forbid them, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And he also said, "Unless you get converted and become like little children, you will not enter into God's kingdom." And he also said in Matthew 11, verse 25, he said, "I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to babes." Why is it that God didn't reveal all these truths to wise men of that time? He said, "You revealed them to babes, because, Father, thus it was well pleasing in thy sight." And those of us who receive the word of God like babes, without our reasoning — I am not saying that reasoning is bad — without unnecessarily, you know, speculating and thinking about this, that and the other, and trying to, tie ends together, trying to understand in our own reasoning. The Bible says, lean not upon your own understanding, but in everything you submit yourself to the Lord, and then things will change. Commit your ways to the Lord, it says. And as the Lord takes over, then He starts working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. We read in the same Gospel, chapter 18, verse 1, Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" You see, I think this question they must have asked Jesus a couple of times. They have discussed this a couple of times as to who is the greatest. Once here and another time just before He went to the cross. And Jesus, it says, He called a child to Himself and set him before them, it says. In Mark 9 it says, He took a child. He didn't send one of His disciples to go and fetch a child from the neighbor's house. I believe this child was there already in the house in Capernaum where Jesus was staying. This happened in Capernaum. And I believe Jesus loved children so much that when children knew that Jesus is in the house, they would just come and flock there around Him. That's what I believe. And that's how He took one of those children. And He set the child before them and He said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like this child or like children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." What is it that a child is different from an adult? It is in its innocence. See, it doesn't keep thinking about whether this is right or that is right. Whatever the parents say or the teachers say, they just believe that. They have such receptive heart that whatever is told to them, they receive it and believe and act upon it. You may have observed that after your children come back from school, they start acting like teachers. They want to write on the wall what teacher was saying in class, and they tell you to sit down and not make any noise to parents, to treat you like as if you are in their class, and they imitate their teachers. And some of the little grown-up ones, they try to act like their hero, cricketer, or whoever it is. They have the tendency, they are at an impressionable age. They pick up everything that they observe, that they see, that they hear. Then they try to, you know, behave like that. And it's important as to who we make our heroes. Who are our heroes? In Psalm 16 it says, "I have made," in one translation it says, "I have made the godly ones my heroes." Not these worldly people who are heroes in the sense of the world, who score more runs and caught more wickets and so on and so forth. But these are all in this realm. It's only as long as you are alive. But there is, for us, there is a place that the Lord has promised. and whose citizenship God has given to us. He has said it very clearly in His word that we are not of this world as He was not of this world. And we belong to a kingdom which cannot be shaken, whose author and the designer is the Lord. Everything will be shaken on this earth, but that kingdom cannot be shaken. That is the one that God is building and of which we are citizens. Our citizenship is in heaven, Paul says. So we are not of this world, my dear friends and my dear brothers and sisters. Just remember, we are here but for a moment. And then we read, whoever humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of God. No, they were asking as to who is going to be the next leader. Jesus said he was going to be crucified shortly. And then they were thinking, then after he goes, who will be like how we see in politics. One person is getting old and, you know, there's so much of hankering as to who will take the next chief ministership or prime ministership or whatever. People are so eager to fight for power and position. But Jesus said it should not be like that in amongst you. In the world it is like that. But in your midst you should be as humble as little children. And humble yourself like little children. If not, you will not enter into God's kingdom. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because children, whatever you tell them, they do. They obey. All obedient children. They obey. Because they've been taught that way. That is how Jesus also lived when he lived here on this earth. When the mother called him, when he was busy doing or playing probably with his friends. When Mary called Jesus to do something, he dropped everything and came. He was obedient to them even though they were imperfect people. Because Moses and Joseph and Mary, they lived under the old covenant. So don't think that Jesus and Mary, Joseph and Mary were saints. They were not saints. They were godly people. If in the new covenant, married couples fight and argue and quarrel, how much more it must have been in the old covenant. You can just imagine. So Jesus submitted to such imperfect parents and he humbled himself, seeing their faults and failures, he submitted to them. No wonder he received the validation from the Lord on his baptism day. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know, God has given us responsibility to take care of our children. What we put into them is what they will become. Moses told in the Old Covenant in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You can turn with me there to Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart first, on the hearts of the parents. And then in verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your sons, means daughters also includes, and shall talk to them when you sit in the house and when you walk by the way, that's when you go for a walk, and when you lie down, that is when you're sleeping with them. You know, all children have a curiosity and tendency to ask the parents to tell them bedtime stories. I hope when you were small, you all asked your parents to tell bedtime stories. I did, and my children did. And my children, we slept on one bed until they were big enough to sleep in their rooms. Every night they used to ask us to tell them bedtime stories. And I told and told and told over the years all the stories that I knew from childhood and exhausted everything. I don't think there is one story that I left which I didn't tell them, including Bible stories. So it says, when you lie down and when you rise up, when you wake up in the morning, teach them from morning till evening. Speak about how good the Lord has been. I mean, this is Moses talking to the Israelites. What all the Lord did to you when you were slaves in Egypt. How the Lord in His might, through His mighty hand, brought you out of all these plagues and out of the clutches of Pharaoh, who is a picture of Satan, and through the Red Sea, opening it up, and through giving them daily manna and healing them and sustaining them for 40 years and all those things. Recount and tell them how the Lord led you and His faithfulness and all these things. So the Lord wants us to train up our children in the way that they should go. And when they are old, it says they shall not depart from it. My dear brothers and sisters, it is our responsibility to bring up the children whom God has given us as a gift. The Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. And wonder of wonders that I see in the world is the birth of a baby. Psalmist says in Psalm 139, I have been created fearfully and wonderfully in my mother's womb, he says. Ask any doctor, they will tell you how intricate and how complex is man's body, the health of a man. A little bit of imbalance here and there in some chemicals can make you, you know, either invalid or disabled or handicapped. But the Lord knows everything about you, every cell, every fiber of your being, and the amount of every chemical in your body, in your brain. A little imbalance in anything can lead to some disorder. Any doctor can tell you that. So that is how God has made it. Why is it that the Lord wants the parents to teach children these things? So that, as we read in Psalm 78, verse 6, we can turn to Psalm 78, verse 6. It says in the middle of verse 5, the law, He commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children. The reason, verse 6, that the generations to come might know, even the children yet to be born, What's the reason why we should speak to our children from morning till night? So that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Why is it that we are commanded to keep God's commandments? God has given us commandments so that we can be protected. The law and the commandments of God are for our good, for our protection and safety. It's not to make our life miserable, it's not to kill our joy, but to bless us and to make us a blessing. We read again in Psalm 34 where David says, in Psalm 34 he says to children in verse 11, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." What is the fear of the Lord? It's not that I'm scared of God or I'm afraid of God. God doesn't want us to be afraid of Him and scared of Him. Here, when the word fear comes, that simply means reverence and respect. I will teach you, even in Job, first it comes in Job and then it comes in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the fear of the Lord doesn't mean I get scared of God. Not that. That I have a proper reverence about God, about who He is. And David says, "I will teach you, come, the fear of the Lord." But what is the fear of the Lord? What is the indication that you fear the Lord? It says, next verse, "Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good?" Number one, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Number one characteristic of a godly man is that he knows how to keep his tongue under control. He speaks when it is required to speak and when it is profitable to speak. Not just go on yapping all the time. Even without being asked, some people have the tendency, they call themselves and they glory in the fact that they call, others also call them chatterboxes. God has not called us to be chatterboxes and empty chatter. Paul warns about such people. Avoid such people, he says. Especially those who want to go on chattering all the time, yapping. He says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, it says in Proverbs. And depart from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. The psalmist recognized, David recognized, that the fear of the Lord first begins in my speech. Because the Lord said very clearly in Matthew 11:36, "For every idle words that men shall speak, they will have to give an account on the day of judgment." Does that stir something in you? Or we just overlook that and say, "Oh, that is for that brother or that sister who is a chatterbox. It's not for me." It says, for us it says, take that word very seriously, brothers and sisters. For every idle word that we speak, we will have to give an account on the day of judgment.
and be careful as parents as to what you speak at home, because children have a tendency to imitate you and they are quick to listen and observe. And if you keep fighting at home, husband and wife, you know, that is not a good atmosphere for children to grow up with. And their homes also may turn out to be like that. Speak the truth to them. And whatever you speak to them, parents' words are like gospel truth to the children. They will not question you. They will not reason it out with you. And be careful as to what you speak at home, because the gift that God has given you is a gift to you, that is our children. And what we make out of them is our gift back to God. Remember that. I was a gift to my parents, and what they made me, or you make your children out to be, that is your gift back to God. Won't you be glad on that day to hear from the Lord that I gave you a gift and you are returning that gift to me, pressed down, shaken together? They will pour it into your lap, Jesus said. So that way we can give abundantly back to God what God has given to us, if only we take good care of them, like the farmer takes care of his crops and gets a good crop. And Isaiah says, here are what God has given to me. Me and my children are signs and wonders, he says in Isaiah 8. And the children bring a different joy to the parents when they are born. And we need to bring joy to the heart of our Heavenly Father. Don't depend just on your Sunday school teachers. They are here with Sunday school teachers only for an hour or so in a week. But whereas you, parents, you are with them the whole day, especially mothers, you are with them the whole day. You know what a great job Hannah did with Samuel and Jochebed did with Moses? They both were in their home just for a short time. It says as soon as Samuel was weaned, Hannah brought him to the temple to give him back to God as she had promised. And you mothers know how long it takes for a child to wean. Maybe about 1.5, 2.5 years, 3 years max, or some cases 5 years. Probably Samuel was about 5 years, and Moses also probably was 5 to 8 years or something. And that little time that they had with their mothers, they had inculcated in them such godly values that they could never forget it the rest of their life. Moses, even though at the age of 40, he knew that he was going to be the next Pharaoh, he counted it as trash, the wealth of Egypt, the kingship of Egypt as trash, it says in Hebrews 11, compared to the riches of Christ with his suffering. He knew that he doesn't belong to this kingdom. He was not even an Egyptian. He was not hankering for that next kingship. His eyes were upon the Lord and upon the future. And I would like to close with two mothers who did an excellent job, about which we don't read much. Number one is, the first person we can say is Joseph. You know, Joseph was only about 17, 18 years old when he was sold to the Egyptians. And his mother, Rachel, didn't live long. She died when she was giving birth to Benjamin, the younger brother of Joseph. And after her death, probably Jacob, his father, took care of him and narrated all things that God had done right from Abraham, how God called him, how he led him, how he promised a son, his father Isaac, and how the Lord led Isaac, and all that history he must have recounted, and he must have told him about the faithfulness of God. And Joseph was such a good character. We don't read any black spot about him. And you know afterwards what happened to Joseph. For the next 12, 13 years he was a slave in Egypt, and he was jailed, but yet he didn't question God, and he didn't wallow in self-pity. He was God-fearing, and he was faithful to God. God's eyes were upon him. Wherever he went, he prospered. He prospered in Potiphar's house, and God blessed Potiphar's business. And God was with him in jail, it says. And the jailer recognized that and gave him in charge of the inmates. And another person is Daniel. Daniel also was maybe around the same age, 17, 18 years, when he was taken away from Jerusalem by King Nebuchadnezzar as captives, along with tens of thousands of captives. He was taken to Babylon, all the way from Jerusalem to Babylon. I don't know how many hundreds of miles that is. He was taken. And who did the job to sow God's word in his heart? Definitely it must have been his mother. We don't read about his mother or father. But Daniel becomes such a fine gem of a person that he excelled everybody in wisdom, in character, and everything. Even he didn't have any black spot about him, about his testimony. And he served under three kings: King Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar, his grandson, and then Darius the Medes. Three kings recognized this man and gave him the most important position in their kingdom. We can say prime ministership or whatever. Such was the testimony of these two young people. And dear young people, follow these examples. They are good examples. And parents, remember these godly characters, how they became what they became. It's all because of the parental care and concern and the burden and their teaching. If you don't teach them how to live, and then the world will teach them how to live, and the world will mold them into its mold, and they will become someone or something that you don't like. So before it is too late, please take care of our children. Let's do that. It's father's responsibility. It says in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, bring up your children in the instruction and fear of the Lord. Teach them kindness. Teach them to respect older people. In the Old Testament it says, when you see a gray-haired man, stand up before him. That's the way you respect. Don't talk back or argue or fight with older people, especially your teachers, your parents, and older siblings. Respect them and give them their boundaries, parents, and also teach them their worth, what they are worth. They are not just like other human beings on this earth, like heathen people. You are a special people, Peter says. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, called from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, so that you can shine in this world as lights, and then our citizenship is in heaven, from where we look forward to the coming of the Lord, and we will join with Him, and we will be with Him forever. And that is the calling that we have. Because all children, it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but a rod of correction will drive it out. So don't hesitate to discipline and correct your children, but do it in love, only when it is necessary. Not all the time, so they are scared of you and of the stick. Then in the Good News Bible it says, children are just naturally silly, or they do silly things, but a good spanking will teach them how to behave. So when there is hope, discipline your children. When it is too late, when a plant becomes a tree, you cannot bend a tree. When it is tender and young, then you can. But if you don't take proper care, when they are in your home with you, then they will grow up to be a nuisance in society. So the Lord give us, we all lack wisdom in this area. None of us have come with fully packaged wisdom. None of us have come with full wisdom. We acquire it. We learn from each other. We learn from God's word. And let us take heed to God's word. As the psalmist says, I am wiser than my teachers, because I keep your law. He says, we gain wisdom from the word of God and by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray.